Today, we are continuing on in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You know, this is now the third thing Jesus has applied to his statement from back in verse 1 of chapter 6, when Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." And then Jesus goes on to talk about three specific things. There was giving in verses 2 to 4. Then he talked about prayer in verses 5 through 15. And now Jesus talks about fasting. Giving is primarily in order to benefit others. Praying primarily is an activity dealing with God and speaking to God. And fasting primarily is an activity that is directed toward ourselves. Fasting is a discipline that is largely for our own benefit. There are Christians who take fasting seriously. But among evangelical Christians, there is a tendency for many to be a little suspicious of this discipline. To many, fasting is seen as an optional kind of extra, and others it is seen as being, well, totally irrelevant at all. So what is the biblical background to fasting? You know, as you go through the Old and the New Testaments, it is evident that there were times and people who took fasting very seriously. In Exodus chapter 34, you read Moses fasted for 40 days when he met with God on Mount Sinai and received the law from God. In 2 Samuel 12, we read that David fasted when he took his son that was sick and pleaded with God for the child to get well. In 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast through Judah and as they engaged in battle with the Moabites and the Ammonites. Esther, she declared a 3-day fast for all the Jews in Persia prior to her risking her life by going uninvited into the presence of King Xerxes to make a request regarding the future of the Jews. Isaiah 58 gives some physical, spiritual, and moral benefits that come from fasting. Then in the New Testament, there's the prophetess Anna, who proclaimed the birth of Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem and fasted regularly, we are told in Luke chapter 2. Jesus, he fasted for 40 days and nights in the wilderness prior to the temptation by the devil. In Mark chapter 2, we read where John the Baptist's disciples fasted. Then the leaders of the church in Antioch were fasting when God spoke to them and said in Acts 13, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then in Acts 14, we read where Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey appointed church leaders with prayer and fasting. And this is just a small sampling of some of the scriptures involving fasting. So there's plenty of biblical precedent for fasting in both the Old and the New Testament. So what is fasting? The late theologian J.I. Packer writes, "We tend to think of fasting as going without food, but we can fast from anything. If we love music, we may choose to miss a concert in order to spend time with God. That is fasting. There's nothing magical about fasting in itself," Packer says. "It is just one way of telling God that your priority at the moment is to be done alone with him." So if you skip a meal, or skip a TV program, or skip a concert, or whatever else you normally would have done, in order to fulfill a greater priority of being alone with God, that is a fast. Richard Foster, who has written widely on the subject of fasting, says, "The central idea of fasting is the voluntary denial of an otherwise normal function for the sake of intense spiritual activity." So fasting involves more than just not eating food. It is the denial of what would be a normal function for the priority of spending time with God. What Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6 is, whatever your fasting is about, whatever your fasting involves, it is something that goes on that is in that secret place in your life between you and God. Just as it was with giving and prayer, now it is with fasting, where Jesus directs us to that secret place where you are alone with God. It's just you and Him. We need to have that secret place where we meet and commune with God, where you enjoy Him and you are loved by Him and you love Him back. And fasting is a means to take additional time in that secret place with God. It is taking the opportunity to give up something for a period of time in order to be alone with God and doing whatever it takes to spend more time alone with Him. Whatever is involved in fasting, there's self-denial. You're giving up things which are legitimate for a greater purpose, which is to seek after and be with God. You know, Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, when he said, "Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive." So Paul is saying there are lots of things which are permissible. That's not the issue. But is it beneficial? You are denying yourself of something which is permissible, but for you at this very moment of time, it is not beneficial. You know, fasting is much more than just not eating food. It is done to spend one-on-one time with God alone, which will undoubtedly bring enrichment into your life. This is one of the reasons why fasting is important. The time alone with God will bring blessing and great benefit. Now, there is no prescribed fast, and there are no laws about fasting as to this is what you must do and how and when you are to do it. Jesus' point here in Matthew chapter 6 is your fasting is not to be done before people, to be seen by people, and to be applauded by people. When you fast, you do it before God in secret. Jesus is dealing here with people's pride and basically saying, why do you do what you're doing? For what was happening here is there were those who were fasting to be seen by people, to impress people. In verse 16, we read, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." You know, if your fasting is causing people to look at you and ask, what's wrong with you? Are you sick or something? And you say, oh, no, I'm just fine. I'm fasting. It's for the Lord. It's nothing but a performance, feeding your own ego and pride. You're doing it to be seen by people and to be noticed by people. Basically, you're saying, you know, look how spiritual I am. I'm a really dedicated and spiritual person. And Jesus said in verse 17, that the antidote to this kind of performance is to disguise your fasting. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, if we put oil on our head, people would think, man, they've gone crazy. What's this all about? Something's really weird going on here. So there is something obviously in the context of this. And the context is the Jews washed and anointed their bodies with oil with every time they ate. This is the point. If you are not eating because you are fasting, don't bring attention to yourself by not anointing yourself with oil. Wash yourself and anoint yourself with oil in order not to bring attention to yourself. And your Father who sees what is done in secret is the one who will reward you. You know, one of the big things in fasting is self-denial. Today, we're not into self-denial. We're into self-fulfillment. But Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 8:34, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You know, whatever might be involved in denying self, in fasting, we deny ourselves of things which are legitimate for a period of time for a greater purpose. What Jesus is confronting was rather than fasting being a means of connecting with God, it had become a means in showing off a false spiritual pride to other people, basically saying, "Look at me and how devoted and spiritual I am." So, what are the benefits of fasting? Well, there are no explicit passages in Scripture which address this. Yet the most common associated thing that we have with fasting is prayer. And the connection is often made that fasting is an aid to praying. For example, in the book of Jonah, the Ninevites, it says, believed God, and they declared a fast. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them. The response of the people of Nineveh to God's message through Jonah was to pray and fast in repentance for their sins. And God responded to them. So does fasting aid prayer? Does fasting somehow give more energy and power to our prayers? Well, the scriptures never say that. But I would suggest that when we fast and are setting aside time, we would normally be doing something else, and we focus on God in prayer, it is because of that time in communion with God, he speaks. Fasting teaches us that other things are not as important as we thought they were. And we humble ourselves and we seek time alone with God. God becomes the more important than food or whatever else we might be setting aside. You know, when you have an abundance of abundance of material things like we do, the danger is that you begin to live in independence of God instead of living in dependence on God. So depriving yourself of something like food and seeking God is to place greater value on God than what you're giving up. You know, in the book of Ezra, the nation of Judah was in exile in Persia, and they wanted to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And Ezra 8:23 says, "So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer." For Ezra, fasting and praying went together. Whatever fasting might involve, it is about something that is going on in that secret place with you and God. Just as in giving and in praying and now in fasting, Jesus takes us back to that private place where you close the door and you are alone with God, and it is you and God alone. And whatever the reason, the time with God in that secret place is going to enrich your life. We must understand, though, that none of these disciplines make a person spiritual in and of themselves. Only the presence and the activity of God within a person's life does that. Fasting is a means by which we reprioritize things in our life. Making that time to connect with God and worship him and seek his work and his will for our lives. Fasting is actually a difficult subject to pin down because the Bible doesn't pin it down. But clearly, it is of great value when people deny themselves of things important to them for a period of time in order to meet with God and spend time alone with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, So often we neglect the most important thing in life, spending time alone with you, seeking your work and will for our lives. Forgive us for when we have placed importance on other things instead of you. Help us live continually and humbly in your presence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.